Today's episode of the Meet and Greet Barbecue podcast is brought to you by AOS Outdoor Kitchens. They are the South's leading outdoor kitchen design and installation specialists. Welcome to another episode of the Meet and Greet Barbecue podcast. Today we have Jordan from Bar Down Barbecue, and it's going to be an absolute fantastic episode. For the first time, we get to talk about competition barbecue in great detail, find out more about the UK barbecue scene and what competitions mean, how to get involved, what the criteria are. And as ever, we get to hear about Jordan's barbecue fails, and also we set barbecue bingo challenges. So without much further ado, here's Jordan.
Jordan, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Great to see you. How are you doing? You all right?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Very good indeed.
Good, good, good. So we've got, of course, Jordan Owen here, and we're talking all things barbecue as always. But what I love about this is we have someone here who's experienced in competition barbecue as well, which for the UK is a little bit different for us compared to some of our American listeners who might know it inside out. It's a bit new here in the UK, so we'd love to learn more about this in the podcast. But first off, can you tell everyone more about yourself, who you are, and how you got into everything?
Yeah, sure, not a problem. My name's Jordan. I'm part of Bar Down Barbecue, and it's me and my wife, the now other team, essentially, very much. And we've been doing it for 3 years, 2018. So I think everyone's 4 years, but everyone's not counting last year because everyone was in pretty much lockdown. So pretty much been going 3 years, and yeah, absolutely loving it, what I do, and is actually progressing slowly into catering kind of side of it as well, which is good.
Fantastic. And did you do a lot of barbecuing before that point, or was it something that you just were always interested in and you dived in full on? How did that all come about?
So I had a barbecue and I was enjoying barbecue cooking and everything, as you do, like just normal backyard barbecuing. And then back in 2018, when it first kicked off, we saw a few of my friends that were part of the team, and not anymore. We saw just an advert on Facebook saying there's going to be a barbecue competition at Maldon that was the Smoke and Fire Festival. It was its second year running then, and it was at Maldon at the Prom. And we thought, yeah, let's give it a go. And pretty much just signed up there and then to give it our first shot at barbecue competition. That was what was called IBQN. So it wasn't the standard KCBS stuff that you get. And now that's the Open Championship that you get now. But that was our first experience at barbecue competition.
Was it quite different to backyard barbecue in I'm assuming you have to, is there quite a strict guidelines of how you have to cook the food or present the food, and do you have a lot of flair?
So the first competition that we did, IBQM one, that was based around the KCBS categories essentially. So it was obviously your chicken, pork, ribs, and brisket essentially. So we'd did a few practice cooks before we actually competed that time. There's all your standard turn-ins that you have to do. So it's normally chickens first, and it's at 12 o'clock, but you get a 5 minute window either side, so you can turn in 11:55 and 12:05, and you can't be 1 second over or 1 second earlier. So that's your window. And then your next one would be ribs at 12:30, and then same principle, 5 minutes either side. And then 1 o'clock would be your pork, and 1:30 would be your brisket. So that would be your kind of cooking times. And then some competitions do ancillary rounds. So normally your comp would be a Friday to a Sunday. Friday, everyone turns up in the morning or after work, and normally that's the time where teams have a bit of a jolly and a bit of a drink and get absolutely legless kind of thing. And
be rude not to, right?
Exactly, yeah. And then it's good catch up for people that haven't been to comps or teams that just want to socialize again, kind of thing. And then the Saturday, they normally have like ancillary rounds. So it could be things like burgers, hot dogs, cocktails, whatever they want to come up with, they can do it. Like normally a barbecue comp will have a sponsor, so they'll throw in something to do with that. And then the Sunday is normally your main four categories that you cook.
Again, talking to us, like, you know, we're absolute amateurs in terms of competition barbecue. We've never done it before. So what are the things that our judges are looking out for, you know, in those main four rounds that you would have traditionally on the Sunday?
So you've normally got like your, so they categorize it in taste, tenderness, appearance, and each of them are normally weighted. So your appearance is like the lowest, and then like your taste and tenderness are like your highest. So even like if you score like a 9 in like your appearance or something like that, and then your taste and tenderness are down at like 6s and 5s, you're not going to do very well, because obviously they're the ones that you want to be really, really good on, because they're the ones that are weighted the most. So you could, even if your appearance is a 7s, 7.5s, 8s or something like that, and then your taste and tenderness is like 9s, then you're doing very well.
Do you know what you were saying, like the 5-minute windows, for some reason I haven't considered that. I assumed it would be like half hour either side, particularly with something like a brisket, to get the skills right of like resting and dealing with the stall and things like that. Must be an absolute nightmare to get that 5-minute window correct, because every piece of meat is completely different. How do they even judge the meats they give you in the first place, particularly with things like brisket?
So things like your brisket, all your rounds on the Sunday, you'd normally have your butcher. So everyone would normally have either same butchers or different butchers or anything, and then you'd get your meats from them. Some teams are lucky enough to choose their meats and everything, so all that kind of stuff. But other teams just ring up their butcher and be like, can I have your pork butts, your briskets and your chicken thighs and ribs and everything. And then it's just the practice kind of comes into it, of knowing how that you're going to cook it and when you're going to start all your barbecues, when you've got timings. And I have like white balls with pens all over it and scribbles and everything down. So it does come down to a lot of timings and everything, and it is difficult sometimes.
Well, I was just going to say you start,
I suppose after a few competitions, it almost becomes, I say, like an art form, isn't it?
Yeah,
really,
exactly.
A bit of a science.
Yeah, for instance, our first competition that we did, we thought, let's stick the barbecues on this time, and because that's what we've done at home and everything like that. But then you've got to take into loads of different considerations, like the weather and everything like that, because you're cooking outside, you're not cooking in like a nice barbecue shack that's warm and toasty and everything like that. So there's loads of different aspects that you've got to think of. And the more competitions you do, the more you know, like, okay, if I start my barbecue half an hour later, I'll probably get an extra half an hour's kip that night or something like that. So it is all about timings of when you start things.
And are there any rules about what types of barbecue you can use for each of the different cooks or anything like that? How does all that work?
So obviously you can't, well, the ones that we were going to, you can't use gas. Mm-hmm. And you can't use open fire pits and all that kind of stuff. So you can use your things like your offsets, you can use your kettles, you can use your drums, you can use pro cues, you can use pellet grills and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's, you only can't use gas or open fire pits is normally the ones.
So even within that then, so say I was cooking on a pellet grill and you were doing it in a drum, they would be kind of paired up in the same category.
Yeah, so you can cook on whatever you want. So there's not like a certain thing that you have to cook on this for that meat, you have to cook on this for this meat. You can just use whatever barbecue you want to cook your meats, and that's it. They get turned in like because it's going on to the turn-ins, you get given like a little polystyrene box. These are like normally the normal KCBS runs. You get a little polystyrene box. You fill it with nice, pretty parsley greenery at the bottom of it to make it look all pretty, and then you present your six pieces or six to six plus pieces, and then that's it. And then it's turned in blind. You hand it in, and then it normally gets switched again, so a different number gets put on the box, and then it then gets passed to the judges, and they judge it completely blind.
I suppose the follow-up question to that is, what are your go-to equipment, or what do you use in your different shows?
So my barbecue, I've got a Yoda YS640 pellet grill, and I've got some ProQs, and I normally just take my Weber Master Touch with me for like simple side rounds kind of things. But I do most of my stuff on my pellet grill and my ribs on my ProQ, essentially.
Nice. And the ancillary rounds you were saying, that could be whatever or whoever the sponsor is that you said might chuck in.
Yeah.
Do you have a preference when it comes to that round? What would be kind of your go-to cook for that?
I think it all depends what the rounds are, essentially. So the latest, obviously the last comp that we did, one before that, the Smoke and Fire Festival, that they kind of mixed it up a little bit. So they still had your normal four main categories on the Sunday, but they class it as bird, beef, pig, and ribs. So you could cook any part of a bird, or any bird, essentially, and any part of a bird, pig, any part of a pig, cow, any part of the cow. So it wasn't specifically for brisket. So that's why it was so open to so many teams that could join it. And they didn't have to be in that whole, oh, you've got to cook your brisket, you've got to cook your pork butts. So doing that kind of aspect of it, there was so much more flair and that kind of thing from loads of different cooks. And for instance, like for the wing, for the chicken round, we did wings. So we did like a Russian roulette kind of style presentation. So you didn't have to put in a polystyrene box. That was presentation however you wanted to present it, as long as you had enough for the six judges there, you could present it however you wanted. So we bought like the little Russian roulette drinking game that you can see, little shot.
Yes. Yeah.
So we bought that little table, stuck plates to it, and then in each different plate was like a different mixture of wings and sauces and everything. So that was our wings round.
Nice.
So it's kind of flair and creativity that you do that kind of makes it really good and fun for them kind of rounds.
I was going to say, does that actually amplify the whole experience, the fact that you don't have to always put it in a polystyrene box with some green parsley? You can actually show a bit of personality and character. Would you prefer that all of the rounds could be like that?
I think it depends on the competition, because if it's strict KCBS kind of cooking with the polystyrene boxes, your main categories that you're doing, I think it is good and fun, because I think sometimes the prizes are a bit cash prizes, and it's like you put a lot of effort into it and you get a good amount of reward out of it. And the ones, the competitions that are a bit more flair kind of, as I should say, they're more fun and invite, that's what kind of gets more people into the cooking and more people into the entering teams into it, because you can just get normal backyard barbecues that do amazing presentations, amazing cooking, and they don't have to follow that normal category stuff. And then that's what barbecuing is pretty much all about, just getting people cooking and presenting food and making sure it tastes really good, essentially.
I think like the presentation side of things is really interesting to me, because one of the hardest things I find is you can make something and cook it and it's absolutely beautiful, but how do you present it to people to make it look its best? I love the idea of the Russian roulette. In my head, I was thinking, that's amazing. What I would love to do, just for friends at some point, is set it up like that, but have like a mini water pistol or super soaker in the middle that's full of hot sauce.
Yep.
And then people spin it and then they have to spray the hot sauce on. But I love the idea that, at least for those rounds, although it sounds like those are the less heavy cash prize rounds, you can have that sort of fun. But for you, is there kind of like an end game or a next level you want to go to? Like, are you thinking about going across the pond to America for some of the big cash prizes?
That would be amazing to eventually get to. Being 34 years old and have one terrorizing child running around headless like a headless chicken, I've got no time. And considering I've got another one that's due in about 2 weeks' time, I'm gonna have like zero time to go anywhere abroad anytime soon.
But congratulations.
Yeah, cheers. But that would be my absolute dream, yeah, to even just to compete and say that I've done an American competition would be amazing. Even if I come last, I don't care, I just say that I've done it. And
on that point, how old is your youngest, if you don't mind me asking?
18 months.
18 months. So, like, I suppose in the pandemic, there's been less competitions, but even trying to do competitions with, like, a toddler must be a nightmare. Yeah. I mean, my daughter's turning five end of next month, and she has chicken pox at the moment, and it's hard enough for me just trying to work with her doing that, everything else. So, hats off to you there, but got the planning involved with that must be interesting.
Yeah, well, luckily I've got... So Sam's been the one that my wife has, she's been part of my team for like since 2018, essentially. And then we were lucky enough to do two comps last year, obviously the Smoke and Fire one. And then we did a KCBS one down in Devon. Both times she couldn't obviously be there to help. So I had to rope in some ringers and stuff to help me. But like I said, my uncle, he's a good cook. He enjoys cooking in the, like, back garden kind of thing. So he came down and helped me at the Smoke and Fire Festival one. And then one of my best friends just came down to the Devon one and helped me. And he was more of a try to keep me calm kind of thing, not crack under pressure kind of thing. And he was there to drink the beers while I couldn't, and just give me some support, essentially.
Nice. So KCBS is obviously Kansas City Barbecue, isn't it, for the competition organizers? Yep. I'm obviously very, very big in America, obviously Kansas City, but when in terms of the competitions in the UK, what is the circuit? How many on a good year, a non-COVID year?
Yeah.
You know, how many competitions would you look to be attending on, you know, on that particular circuit?
There's only two that I know of now that are KCBS in, well, one's in the UK and one's in Ireland. Smoke and Fire, its third year, it did a KCB competition. And now they've gone back to doing like an British Open, so it's a bit more free for all. Yeah. So there's only two that I know of that are KCBS now. The one that's down in Devon, Smoke on the Waters, is it's just an amazing competition. The guy that does it, John, he does it on his own farm. He caters for all the teams. He's such a lovely guy. But it's a closed event, so it's just teams that go. Mm. So it's not open to the public or anything like that. So it's really it's really good, because obviously when it's at a festival, or when it's at something big, the teams don't get much chance to speak to each other or anything, because there's a lot of public footpath and all that kind of stuff, like asking you questions and stuff like that. So you don't get much time. But with that kind of competition at John's, it's just teams. So it's really good. And this year he's doing a double header. So normally you'll have a KCBS and the main cook's on the Sunday. But this time he's doing a double header. So it'll be a cook on the Saturday and a cook on the Sunday.
Nice.
And the whole point of KCBS, it goes to your points. So you get points from it, and then so you could be like the best in Europe or get all that kind of stuff. So the more KCBS comps you do, essentially, the higher up, like a league table, you get, essentially.
So being on that league table, if you're, for example, like the best in Europe, what is the outcome of that? Like, do you get to go over to America, or is there like a cash prize? How does all that work?
You get trophies and stuff from KCBS if like you're the best in Europe kind of thing. And normally you get things like you get invited to the Jack Daniels, you get invited to the Kansas City Royale barbecue competitions and all that kind of stuff. So you get, so the more teams that are part of a competition, you get invites to that kind of stuff. So, and then they're normally cash prizes of the winners. So that's like, so, but you've got to be competing pretty much every weekend or every other weekend to be up there winning that kind of money and getting top dogs in Europe and that kind of stuff.
Would that be, I appreciate obviously you said about, you know, you've got a young family,
yeah,
but would that be the ideal for you, that you could be out there every weekend competing?
Yeah, it would be lovely to, but if there's more comps in the UK that could pick up, because all the comps are in Europe, so to the traveling stuff would be loads and loads of money. It's ridiculous. Just to go down to Devon for a weekend, you're talking about a grand just for the weekend kind of thing, or meat, food, supplies, travel, hiring vans, petrol, all that kind of stuff. The cost adds up massively.
God, yeah. Can you imagine trying to fly barbecues out to like Germany or the Netherlands or something?
Exactly. So some of the teams that I know of, like Bunch of Swines, Tony's Cockney Q, they do a lot of comps in Europe, and they're getting like the ferry from like Dover across or Felixstowe, and they're chucking it all on the back of a van and driving it all across. And so it's a lot of commitment to go all the way out to Europe and do that kind of stuff. But obviously then now it doesn't help with the us leaving the EU. There's loads of meat and all that importing and all that kind of stuff. That's a nightmare.
I hadn't even thought of that. God.
Yeah.
I suppose we just need to up the scene here, don't we, locally? That's the thing.
Yeah, it'd be lovely for people to get involved more, or more festivals having competitions and stuff like that.
This is going to sound like a really silly question, but do you have a limit on how many people can be in your team? I mean, could you be a team of one, or could you be a team of 20?
So the limit's four. So okay. you have a limit of four, but yeah, one of the guys, Tony's Cockney Q, he just does it on his own. He finds it absolutely fine doing it on his own. He's got no one to get in the way of him kind of thing. So yeah, one or four people is your maximum. So it all depends. Like, some teams do it as in they split the meets kind of thing. So one person will do two of them, one person will do the other two, and then the other one that's doing that will just help out and kind of thing. So yeah, it works in some teams, and other teams it doesn't pretty much.
Fair enough. If you've been looking or thinking about an outdoor kitchen, then look no further than AOS Outdoor Kitchens.
They are the South's leading outdoor kitchen design and installation specialists.
Their extensive showroom is based just outside Bournemouth on the Dorset-Hampshire border, and as well as numerous in-store displays, also features a live outdoor kitchen where they cook every week on Kamado grills, pizza ovens, and all filmed and shown on YouTube.
They offer a wealth of knowledge on how to transform your patio into the most incredible outdoor dining area, with styles and options to suit every budget, and you can guarantee they will be able to create something perfectly suited to you and your home.
They stock and supply everything that you're going to need for outdoor cooking, including barbecues, Kamado ovens, pizza ovens, outdoor fridges, and every accessory that you would need to become the ultimate outdoor chef.
So if you want to make yourself the envy of your friends and neighbours, get in touch with them today to arrange a consultation and take the first step in transforming your back garden into the most incredible entertainment space.
Visit aoskitchens.co.uk. So what's on the schedule for you then for 2022, aside from having a brand new baby?
So yeah, money's very sparse at the moment with that kind of thing, because she's going to be taking up a hell of a lot of money, resource. But my plan, it will be to hopefully do the double header at the end of the year. Hopefully sign back up for Smoke on the Waters again. Smoke and Fire again this year. So that'll be two, and then hopefully focus on the catering side of it as well and get a bit more than that, essentially.
Yes. Tell us more about the catering. You mentioned that right at the beginning, that
we set it up at a very, very bad time when COVID first come out. So we actually set it up at the end of 2019, and we were just like, yeah, we had this bright idea that we were doing takeaways and providing food for family and stuff before that, and we thought, oh yeah, let's set it up and see what happens. And then all of a sudden, I think we did our first catering gig in December of 2019, and then COVID happened, and we were just like, great. That was a great start for a business. So, but apart from that, we just then started doing takeouts from our house pretty much and cooking everything and doing delivery services for people locally. People would then come and collect, and then slowly picked up back at our local gig that we did at our brewery and providing food for them. And then we did a few parties and everything. And now we just got to pick it back up again in the new year, this year, and get everything sorted. So I've got to revamp the website that we've got and just get out there trying to get more advertisement and gigs and stuff.
Tell everyone what the website is. This is an opportunity to advertise yourself.
It's not up and running yet. It's down at the moment. So it is bardownbarbecue@co.co.uk. So it's quite simple.
And what's your favourite things to be cooking for people? And is that the same as what is most popular?
So we try and mix it up. So like for the brewery that we normally work at, we try and mix it up between like some even simple stuff like burgers and all that kind of stuff. For them, we're going to like birria tacos because that was a huge craze at one point. So we thought, well, we might as well jump on the bandwagon with that and try and cook it, and it turned out really well. So it's whatever we fancy cooking. We try and stick to the whole ethos of what we do. So we do learn slow cooked meats and all that kind of stuff. So we don't want to start branching out into providing chips and stuff like that. And we want to try and keep it a bit closer to home of what we like cooking, what we like doing. That's the whole part of why we set up Bar Down Barbecue, essentially. So we do the smoked briskets, the pulled porks, the ribs, homemade sausages, all that kind of stuff. So the better the meat kind of thing and all that kind of stuff, we just try and push them.
You dropped that as if it was casual. Homemade sausages, talk us through that.
Yeah, so it's just something that I just thought I'd give it a go, and then started enjoying making sausages and stuff, like just doing a lot of research, talking to a lot of friends that are already making sausages, and then just started trying to make my own, and it's actually working out quite well.
So I haven't told Owen this. This is something I've been quietly looking into because it kind of fascinates me, because it's a lot more alchemy and science than people realize, because like the fat content for making your own sausages is so important, because you get weird textures and flavors. And then when you pair that with different flavors and things, it also can change the feel. So how did you even start there, and what's your kind of percentage of mix that you'd recommend people to look at if they're going to try themselves?
So I just thought, well, first of all, I bought myself like a really cheap mixer and blender and all that kind of stuff, and started experimenting with different cuts and everything. And then just started putting, I think our first one that we did was tried to make hot links. And then we put far too much like jalapeno powder and all that kind of stuff, and then gave it to the wife, and it literally blew her brains off. She's like, not even a whole sausage. She had like a slither of a sausage, and I kind of had to rethink all the ingredients and spices that went into it. But we normally do a mixture of pork collar and pork fat kind of thing, and it's normally a 50-50 ratio of beef and pork in ours, actually. Mm-hmm. So we experiment with flavors. The reason I got into sausage making as well with that is one of the rounds at one of the Smoke and Fire Festival was sausage. And when they first sent out the itinerary for it, it just said sausage round. So I thought, oh, great, we'll get to make our own sausages and stuff. So we were actually going to make like a curried sausage. Mm-hmm. And then found out that it was actually a sponsored round and that we were going to get given our sausages. So I went all this effort for weeks and weeks trying to perfect this recipe. And then the final itinerary that they sent out, it was like, oh, yeah, you get given your sausages. And it's like, oh, damn it.
were they nice sausages?
They did actually turn out really nice at the end, when me and my wife had them at home and stuff like that, so they actually turned out really well. The presentation was going to be all lovely with like crushed poppadoms all over it, and like a proper onion bargee scraps and all that kind of stuff to make it like a proper curry but in a sausage.
Amazing.
We enjoyed it.
There'll always be another competition for it.
Exactly, yeah. So I think I've still got frozen meat in the freezer that to make more of them. So there's still more left.
When it comes to like rubs, injections, brines, all that kind of thing in competition barbecue. Is it expected that you make everything yourself? Like if someone just rocked up with a pre-bought rub, is that a bit of a cardinal sin or?
No, everyone buys, everyone's using pre-bought rubs and pre-bought injections pretty much. They're the best out there for a reason. They're winning competitions all in America. So I don't see why you'd need to try and make your own if they're winning the American Royale or winning Jack Daniel's comps and all that kind of stuff. So people buy them. Teams are sponsored by rubs as well. So you've obviously got your Angus and Oink. Yeah. They're sponsoring teams. You've got Barbecue Gourmet sponsoring teams as well that do all the rubs and sauces. So loads of teams are using all the pre-bought stuff. So it's not expected to make your own, essentially.
Yeah.
What's your favourites? What do you use?
So it's a mixture of... So I use a lot of the American rubs. So there's rubs like called Ozark Heat. It's an American rub. Put me on the spot with the rubs. But like a whole cupboard full of them, but I can't think of any.
Also depends who's sponsoring you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's very true. But
we know how the game works.
I can't remember the rubs now. We use a lot of we use some of the Angus and Oink rubs and injections. But no, they are mostly American rubs. I can't, they're literally completely gone from the top of my head what they are, but they're good, doing good for us, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, we're happy with them.
Is it awful that apart from Angus and Oink, I wouldn't necessarily be able to tell you some of the rubs that I get if they're American or not? Like Meat Church. Is Meat Church American, British?
Yeah. That's American.
Yeah. And back on the Angus and Oink, I still haven't done it. I really want to get the Iron Brew rub, because it's a joke in work, and I work with Owen, so he knows this, but I love Iron Brew. To me, it's like nectar, and I want to see what that rub feels and tastes like and what it does to meat as well, because you can mix Iron Brew with like vanilla ice cream, and people think it's awful, but it'll blow your mind. What that would do to meat, I have no idea.
Honestly, I haven't tried it, so I wouldn't have a clue if it would be nice. But there's a rub called tagine. It's like a tagine rub. If you look on their Instagram page, people are putting that on like ice creams and stuff like that, on lollies and stuff like that, because it's like a really limey, citrusy kind of flavour, and they're putting it on ice creams. It just brings out a completely different flavour. So it could be exactly the same what you're saying with the Iron Brew. It could just blow your mind putting it on a meat and be like, wow, that's meant to work. Or it could be the complete opposite and be like, why are people doing this?
I wouldn't leave my house if it was that good, and I would put on like 20, 30 stone instantly, because I would just be sat there smashing all of it. But that's the fun. And I love the fact that you said that you just basically jumped in because it was something that interested you and everything. Did it feel like when you first started out, it was very much trial and error, or did it surprise you the level of your skill as you went in from cooking at home?
I think it surprised us a little bit. Yeah. I think we did do a few practice cooks, and just to make sure what we were cooking was right. And it's a lot of YouTube research, a lot of asking questions, but that's what the good thing about the barbecue scene is. A lot of new teams turning up, loads of other teams will absolutely help you out no end. They're not going to tell you how to cook it, they're not going to give you away all their secrets, but they will help you. Like if they come around and you're trying to cut your meat up or whatever, or trying to prep your meat, they'll come around and say, oh, maybe you should do it this way a little bit different, or give you some pointers. So each team out there absolutely willing to help every new team possible. So literally any new team that's thinking about doing it, definitely do it, because people out there will definitely help you without a doubt.
There you go, Dan. We should get on it.
We've talked about it, and we've joked kind of in private, and the fact that we've, not only does it interest us, but we also want to know where our actual cooks rank. Because you see lots of stuff on Instagram, and you cook stuff for yourself and you eat it and you think, oh, this feels very good, particularly if you then compare it to maybe some like restaurants and stuff you go to. But you've got no actual real idea how good it is unless you go into something like a competition. Is that what drew you in originally?
Yeah, I think so. I think, we enjoyed backyard cooking. We enjoyed cooking for friends and family. We never got any criticism from them, even though they're your family, they probably shouldn't, or they do keep it under their breath kind of thing. But I think
your family is much different than mine. Much different. I still hear about stuff I messed up like 5-6 years ago, you know.
But I think, yeah, it just kind of, we wanted to see if what we were cooking was actually any good. And obviously it was okay. It wasn't too bad. We were winning some things. So we were happy with it. So we just carried on doing it, essentially.
You know what? I think that leads quite well into barbecue fails, because on that point, I've mentioned it a little bit before, but a bit more context into this. So I did some chicken kebabs like a few years ago for the brother and sister-in-law, and I spent ages cooking them, and I was using like a meat thermometer to try and make sure they were cooked. Little did I know that as I was poking the stick thermometer in, I was going straight through the chicken out the other side. So I was like, Jesus, this is saying like 85. This is further than I really wanted to take it. Take it out and everything, stand it up on the plate, cut down. And as it drops open, it's pink. And my heart sinks. I'm like, right, give me that back. I'll sort this out. And, you know, as all of us kind of barbecue cooks have learned to do over time, you fix it and it turns out great. And I still hear about it now, and it's little mistakes like that. And I did a smash burger cook on the plancha the other night, which I love doing, and this isn't a big like mistake, but I didn't put any like butcher's paper on like thing I was using to smash, and I also hadn't like pre-slightly warmed it up and even put any real oil or anything on there. So the first one I did, I went down, smashed it, lifted it up. Do you think I could get the sodding burger off the press? I couldn't. But it's things like that that you learn from. What sort of fails have you learned from, and have any of them happened in competition?
So our second competition that we ever did was a KCBS competition, which was our first ever KCBS competition. And we didn't go into it lightly. We were one of 50 teams, and it was our first ever KCBS competition. And this competition had some of the really, really top teams in Europe that were competing this weekend. And we thought, well, let's give it a go. It's our first competition. Let's try it. Our aim was not to come last. We came second from last, so we were over the moon with that result.
You won.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, we were over the moon. But one of the cooks that went completely wrong was our rib round on that. So the whole point of KCBS ribs, it's got to be bite through clean. Mm-hmm. So obviously you can pick up your rib, you bite it, it comes off really neatly. Pretty much you see your teeth in it and the rest of the meat's on there. We were cooking them, thinking they're done. They're a bit too done. We've gone to lift them out, started chopping them on the chopping board, and pretty much the bones are sliding with the knife as you're trying to cut the meat. And we're just like, damn, how the hell are we going to try and cover this? So we're trying to piece bits of ribs from different racks to try and disguise of like the 6 pieces that we need in the box. And then we just presented it kind of thing. And then presented it, came away crying, thinking, damn it, we've overcooked them ribs like massively, which we obviously did. But we just learned from it. Next time round, we just went home, did a few more rib round cooks, practiced them, and our ribs are getting better and better every time now. So like you say, you just got to learn from what your mistakes are and just crack on with it. It's no point dwelling on it.
You would have learned so much more from that than if you'd gone over slightly by 10 minutes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's those things that people need to celebrate. If you're cooking at home for the first time, or you're doing something different, if it goes wrong, yes, it's frustrating, particularly if you spent a lot of money on a specific type of meat, but you'll learn far more from that than thinking you've nailed it first time. And then 6 months down the line, you realize, hang on, this could be so much better.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. I 100% agree with that. It's just everyone learns from their mistakes, and that's what makes it fun as well, cooking, because no one's perfect in this world. Some people think they are, but it's just good fun.
And how often are you having to practice? You mentioned obviously that leading up to a competition, you're practicing. So does that mean every single time you're practicing those 4 rounds? So like the amount of brisket and ribs and chickens you must get through. is insane.
Yeah. So, well, some of the rounds, so we'd normally focus, like, so if we say I'm going to do a practice cook, we'd just practice like one meet that weekend or something. We wouldn't do all four of them in one go, because I think I'd be like 20 stone heavier right now if we tried to do that. But yeah, so we'd pick something that we'd knew in our last comp that we did a bit poor at, so we'd just pick that meat and go, okay, let's change this little aspect of it and see what happens, and then try it, and then maybe a few weeks later or a few months later, let's go back to it again and change something a little bit different and then see what happens. There's no point changing absolutely everything and just putting completely different rubs all over it and all that again, because you're literally then, it feels like you're then starting the whole process again of entering that comp and doing it. So literally you just tweak things a little bit. So maybe, I don't know, maybe you cook it 5 minutes more or half an hour more, or maybe you put a little bit less rub on it and see what happens, or maybe you wrap it a little bit differently or something like that. So they're literally minor tweaks that you're doing, or you source it differently. So that's what we're doing pretty much.
I suppose they can make the biggest differences in the long run.
Exactly, yeah. So the sourcing, the rubs, how long you're wrapping it for, and like I said, that 5 minute window either side is, so obviously you don't do that at home. I'm not sitting there with a clock on the wall like going, oh my God, I've got to turn it in right now kind of thing. So we're just cooking it until we think it's done.
Wait until the kids are a bit older and they're saying, Daddy, I want my dinner. You will be able to sit at the clock and turn it in.
Yeah, exactly. That's when they're going to be saying that. But no, it's just like we just tweak little bits of it essentially. And yeah.
What I'd love to know is, it's very much one thing cooking competitions, but what do you enjoy cooking at home for yourself, and what are your favorite types of cook, meat to cook, and what are your tips for getting the best out of them?
So my personal favorite is chicken wings or a Bavette steak. At the moment, my wife being pregnant has gone completely off chicken. So chicken is like a no-go in our house right now. So normally if she goes out with the kid at the weekends or something and I've got to do decorating, then I'll stick the barbecue and cook some wings for myself for lunch, because that's the only time I'm getting them. But normally for like wings, I pre-marinate for 24 hours, buttermilk, all that kind of spices, black, white pepper, salt, black pepper, all that kind of stuff. And I prefer them, and then I'll take them out, season them, and then stick them on the barbecue that way. Sometimes the only way I can get my missus to eat them at the moment is if I deep fry them and completely mask the flavour of chicken whatsoever, which I don't mind, but it's just a bit not that healthy for you, but who cares? But I think, yeah, chicken wings and Bavette steaks are my favourite at the moment, pretty much.
Haven't really talked about Bavette steaks. It's not something I've ever cooked. Have you cooked them before, Owen?
No, I've done a tri-tip, which is similar-ish, I suppose, but I've not done a Bavette steak.
Yes, Bavette is like, it's a big cut like on the chest kind of thing, I think. And it's just something that you cook like kind of like a quick steak, essentially. So you're not cooking it for much long. You're probably cooking it like 8-10 minutes each side. And they're quite big, and then you chop them up and normally put them in like tacos with like chimichurri and all that kind of stuff all over it. They just turn out really nice.
It's on the to-do list.
Yeah, something new and different to do.
Exactly, yeah. So we don't, my favourite steak is a ribeye steak to cook, and that's what my missus as well. But I think the Bavette, it just mixes it up a little bit, and it's got great flavour, and I absolutely love it.
I think, again, that probably quite neatly brings us into our barbecue bingo challenge, where hopefully we can get something for you to cook that hopefully you either don't do very often, or hopefully there's nothing you don't like or allergic to.
No, I'm not allergic to anything, so you're all good there.
We have had that in the past. So
yes, we have.
swiftly take peanuts off, but here we go. Right, so I'll share my screen, and we've got a list of ingredients. Again, some meat, some vegetables, some what I'd like to know is, we always put my signature dish.
Okay.
So I think you've already said chicken wings and perhaps Bavette steak, but what would you say is your signature dish? Would it be one of those?
Um Yeah, I'd say either of them I'd cook as a special dish, signature dish, yeah.
Okay. Is there anything that you like the look of? Anything that you absolutely detest and don't want to go anywhere near?
I've never cooked oxtail. I've never cooked, what's the other one? Pork neck, I haven't cooked. But no, and pineapple, as long as it's not on a pizza, then I'm happy. but anything else, yeah, it's fine.
Okay, right, let's give it a spin then and see what you get.
Do you know, as this is spinning, if it comes out with your signature dish, I would love to see the Russian roulette wings. Do you know what? To be fair, oxtail, after what you just said, is a great thing for it to land on. Yeah, I wish this was fixed, because that would make us even better. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, happy with that. I'll give it a go.
Is there anything that jumps to mind for you at all?
Not at the moment. I think the normal stuff, you'd say like a stew or something really like that kind of thing. But that's what everyone would come and normally do with an oxtail. So I kind of want to do something a little bit different then, something a bit outside the norm with it.
On that point of outside the norm, if in a lot of these competitions there's quite strict rules, I know you said you talk about different rubs and things and certain like auxiliary rounds, you've got a bit more flair with things like the presentation, but on like the staples you have to do a certain way. What do you personally try and do to make sure you stand out?
So you're not allowed to personalize the boxes in any way. Mm-hmm. So you've literally got to there is really strict criteria on the KCBS side of it. You've got to have your six pieces. You can't have any, as soon as they open that box, they can't be like pools of sauce. You can't have markings on your meats. You can't have all that kind of stuff. And there's a very specific flavor that they're looking for. So Blue's Hogs is normally the go-to sauce for barbecue teams to use, because that's what it's lived on pretty much ever since KCBS started, is Blue's Hog sauce, and that's what most teams pretty much use. So normally if yours doesn't taste like that, then they'll probably know that you're using something a little bit different. So you could do it that way and kind of your signature, like make it a little bit personal to you if you don't really like Blue's Hogs or if you would prefer a different sauce. But it is kind of quite difficult to try and personalize it to you without getting like disqualified or eliminated by doing something a bit drastic.
Do you think that then becomes a risk if everyone is using Blue's Hog and that's the taste that they're expecting?
It does.
That you could stand out the wrong way. Yeah. Even, sorry.
Yeah, it does essentially. But like for like our chicken round, we don't use the standard sauces and standard rubs, and like the last few years we came first in it and third in it. So, and we won at, well, even though we didn't use it at all for the Smoke and Fire Festival, but we won that round at chicken anyway. So we don't use the standard rubs that you'd use or sauces for then. And it's working for us at the moment, which is good.
That leads perfectly into what my next question was going to be. what do you feel was the best cook you've ever done for a competition? And does it also pair with what you're most proud of achieving at a competition?
I think the proudest cook was our third ever KCBS comp, our third ever comp, which was second KCBS one, and we actually came first in our chicken round, and that was amazing considering that it was the second time we've ever done a KCBS comp, and winning it against, I think there's about 10 no there's about 15 teams there, and we won that round. So we were over the moon with that, and that was me and my wife there. We've got a nice trophy, we've got a cash prize of, I think it was 100 quid, so paid towards the weekend away, paid for the booze and everything. So yeah, that chicken round was our most memorable cook for sure. And that I've now got the plaque like nicely positioned in my barbecue shack on the wall. So it's always a reminder that I actually did something well then.
Outline tattooed onto your chest.
Yeah. I think the wife might be a bit mad if I didn't get the kids' names first or something stupid like that.
They could go underneath.
Yeah.
We've had someone on whose competition level, winning competitions in categories level barbecuing. We've not talked about wood, because that's a huge flavour profile you're playing with there. What sort of kind of wood flavours and things do you either recommend or you swear by and use yourself?
So on when using the ProQ and stuff like that, I used oak, and because oak's really good, I like that. And then for normally in the Yoda, I use a mixture of apple and oak, so I use a mixture of pellets in there pretty much. But yeah, the flavor turns out really nice on them. I've got no complaints, and other people have got no complaints so far, which is good.
I've just been loving cherry. I've been cooking with cherry so much, mainly because of the smell, particularly a few hours in. I remember I put some stuff on, went out with the little one, came back, and as we drove around the corner on our street, my daughter was like, "Oh, I can smell cherry sweets. And I was thinking that can't be the wood. I thought someone was doing like a big clear out, like cleaning or something, and been using like a cherry scented thing. Yeah. I couldn't believe the scent that's kicked off. And I mean, obviously you can taste it in the meat, but I think it's that smell while it's cooking I prefer more than anything else.
Yeah, you can definitely smell it as you're burning it, definitely. But yeah, when we fire up the Yoda in the mornings or the ProQ in the mornings and doing weekend cooks and stuff, it does smell really nice around here. So I like.
Oh, great. Well, it's been absolutely fantastic having you on the show.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Again, here's your opportunity to tell everyone where they can find you. So, to tell our listeners about your website, your social channels, where can we find you?
So, website, not up and running just yet, but it will be up and running very soon, is bardownbarbecue.co.uk. Instagram is at bardown, I think it's _ barbecue. And we're on Facebook as Bardown Barbecue as well. So, yeah, just come and follow us, like us, see what I'm cooking every now and again. And I'm not posting as much as I should be at the moment, with a pregnant wife about to pop and a child running around headless at the moment as well. But once that's all sorted and we have a new baby join, I'll be cooking a lot more as well.
And hopefully we get to see you at a competition at some point this year as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Another episode of the Meet and Greet Barbecue Podcast. Thank you so much, Jordan. You can find him online at Bar Down Barbecue. Give it a Google. Go on your favourite social media account. I'm sure you can find it by searching for that. As always, thank you so much for watching and listening. If you're on YouTube, give us a like and subscribe. It really helps people be able to find us. Depending on what podcast app you're using, again, give us a subscribe or give us a rating. We won't be too upset if you give us less than 5, but we want 5 stars from you, so please do that, and more people can hear about us. If you go and search for us on Instagram, Facebook, Meet and Greet Barbecue Podcast, you'll find us. You can find us on our website as well if you go across to meetandgreetbarbecuepodcast.com, and we'd love to hear from you as well. You can either direct message us on any of our social media accounts, or you can email us on meetgreetbarbecuepodcast@gmail.com, and then you might even get an answer from one of us, probably Owen, because he's a bit more active on that. But I do try my best. I will be involved where I can. We also have recently set up on our link tree on Instagram a Buy Me a Coffee. So if you'd like to support us in any way from that point of view, we'd absolutely love it. And anything that we get, we'll invest straight back into the podcast to bring you the best guests and the best information that we can. But thank you so much for listening. And until next time, keep on grilling.
Great. Well, thanks very much, Jordan. And that's okay. We'll catch up with you soon.
Fantastic.
Yeah, awesome, great guys. Speaking to you. Have a good one.
Yeah, cheers. Have a good Thank weekend. You very much.
Cheers.
See you later, guys. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Today's episode is brought to you by AOS Kitchens, the South's leading outdoor kitchen design and installation specialists.